This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han, the top business stories of the day. We begin with Proton. The entry of Geely as the controlling shareholder, Proton has gotten Proton vendors worried. Proton vendors supplying Proton are expected to be told next week whether they have a future with Proton in a meeting with the newly appointed CEO, Dr. Lee Chun Rong.
Yeah, so after enjoying almost 30 years of business with the national car makers, vendors are now concerned that the new leadership will look to China for components. Now, that's a trend that's already happening at the ground level with new spare parts in the market, where a lot of individuals literally buy from Chinese-made spare parts for Proton vehicles. Now, according to the Proton Vendors Association President Azlan Omar, there is currently no change in Proton supply chain policy, but he did not rule out that some reshuffling may happen later. Analysts believe that a restructuring of Proton supply chain to be part of an overall strategy to turn the company around towards profitability.
Yet you've got comments from the Persatuan Pengusaha Industri Bengkel Malaysia, the president Nor Razizi Dijai, who's saying that it's impossible for us to compete with China's manufacturers. You know, so once again, we are seeing how, you know, given that the protectionist stance for Proton, that has well and truly run its course. It's cost taxpayers billions of ringgit. A Bloomberg report has put that figure at about $3 billion US dollars. That's how much subsidies Proton has enjoyed since its inception here. So question here is, now as Proton is expected to become more competitive, to stand on its own legs, what's going to happen to its 12,000 employees? And beyond that, the estimated 130,000 people whose fortunes are inadvertently tied to Proton.
I mean, this sounds like a political hot potato, isn't it? I mean, this is a kind of a propaganda disaster for the government if it looks like the local vendors are going to be shut out of the supply chain.
I think one of the things that the Proton Vendors Association has done over the years is really play up all these numbers. But the reality is, on the ground, many vendors who are competitive have multiple clients. So they don't only have Proton as a client, they've got Produa, they've got Toyota, they've got Honda, and so forth. So essentially, Proton is just one of many customers. And if you look at the market share numbers for Proton now, Proton has a market share of only 13%, down from 70% at its peak. Now, at its peak, perhaps I think the argument that the vendors will go under and the supply chain will collapse would be a valid one. But at 13%, I think that only the vendors who are not competitive, who are literally depending on handout contracts from Proton, are going to suffer.
So pretty much everyone across the value chain has to get leaner and leaner. Now, we are talking about this just as the Malaysian Automotive Association has just released September's vehicle sales data. Just zooming in on Proton, though. Proton sales in September fell over 30%. Compared to the month of August. Now, to be fair, you know, that we have seen double-digit declines for most of the major automakers, at least in terms of sales. This is, again, on month, yeah, September versus August. Produa, you know, over 20%. Honda, close to 20%. Nissan, over 15%. But Proton, once again, you know, their drop is bigger than the others. Over 30% on-month drop. So, yeah, you know, Brian, you may be onto something here whereby, because of market dynamics, and because of the dwindling market share that Proton has seen over the last few years, you know, that has perhaps forced these vendors to wean themselves off Proton.
Yeah, so, and but one of the things the vendors have actually done, and the industry as a whole, realizing that, particularly with MITI, that there's a lot of opportunities in the automotive space, and that the local vendors really need to retool. So the Malaysian Automotive Institute and MIDF, for example, has launched a fund with a total financing assistance of about 200 million ringgit, really to help upskill the industry, especially auto parts vendors. This alliance expects to fund 120 vendors, and it's part of the MITI's Industry 4.0 development program. Another area that in terms of upskilling is also the augmented reality program. That's going to be one of the 9 thrusts of the Malaysian automotive industry that it has proposed to boost the sector's capability moving forward. And these are really things that they need to retool to take advantage of opportunities moving forward.
But obviously the question here is whether or not they have the kind of talent pool, the kind of skill sets that can really take advantage of these, I mean, these really lofty ambitions, you know, big data, Internet of Things, augmented reality, and trying to incorporate that into the automotive space, whether we have the local skilled talent who can tap that.
Also in the news, Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, it projects that the domestic economy will grow by some 5.4% in 2017, an upward revision of 0.7% from July's forecast. This is the second revision by the think tank this year. In July, it raised the GDP growth forecast to 4.7% from 4.4%.
Yes, so basically the executive director, Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, said that the GDP growth is being supported by stronger domestic demand due to improvements in investment, consumption, and of course, better exports. The projection took into account MIA's Business Conditions Index, which involves a survey of 300 manufacturers. They believe that while they have lower production and lower domestic and export orders during the third quarter of this year, they are expecting some recovery in the fourth quarter. Also, interestingly enough, private consumption is expected to grow 6.1%, an upward revision of 0.1%.
And that's interesting. Private consumption expected to grow by over 6%. You also see household income. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, right, Brian? Whereby household income has also grown. I think real household income has also grown by about 3 to 4% there. Yet, when you compare that with the consumer sentiment, we have seen that to be we have been seen to be a pessimistic bunch. So once again, this disconnect between the sentiment data versus the hard economic data. I mean, because you've got MIER, it's not just them. You got the World Bank. Also, recently we spoke to UOB Malaysia. All these guys making these upward revisions for Malaysia's headline GDP figures. You know, why isn't that translating down to the average man on the street?
Zakaria actually acknowledged that, and he said that there is some sort of disconnect between economic growth and what people are actually feeling about it.
Okay, we have some news coming from Marsing Group. Marsing has terminated the proposed deal to buy 5 parcels of adjoining freehold land measuring over 3.5 acres fronting Titi Wangsa Lake worth up to 60 million ringgit. And to give us some analysis, we have on the line Loong Kok Wen, senior analyst at RHB Research.
Good morning, Kogwin. All right, so news here that Marsing has terminated this deal, citing non-fulfillment of conditions. What's your initial take on this?
Yeah, hi. Marsing has terminated some land deals before as certain CPs, certain condition precedents can't be met. So for this Titi Wangsa land deal, I think what happened, it was rather complicated, and management has constantly updated the investor community and also Bursa on the progress. So to a certain extent, I believe the market has already factored in what will happen to this land. Of course, you know, worst case will be the termination. So we are not entirely surprised, and we have also removed the value and earnings contribution from this land earlier on.
And we'll get to your earnings outlook on Marsing in just a bit. But Kogwin, I mean, still, Marsing has already completed 2 land acquisitions so far this year. One up there in Bukit Mertajam, Penang. The other in Sentul, KL. They are also eyeing some prime land in Cheras for over 80 million ringgit. So in your estimation, you know, despite this news, is there still enough momentum in Marsing's land shopping spree?
Yes, certainly. I think management is still guiding that they are still hoping to announce some land deals by end of the year, probably a couple more. So they have already bought, like what you say, and this land on a combined basis are worth about 400 million, which is their land cost. So earlier on, they have already raised about 650 million per purchase securities. So I believe they still have some bullet for more land coming forward.
And according to The Edge, you've got Masing, which still has 34 ongoing projects, which are spread out across various stages of the development cycle. So what's your earnings outlook for Masing as it stands right now?
Well, for this land termination, we like I said earlier, we have already removed the earnings contribution from our earnings forecast. So we are keeping, you know, the forecast unchanged. I believe, you know, Masing will still be able to achieve the 1.8 billion sales target for the year. In the first half, they already make about 819 million. So in the second half, which is typically stronger for most of the developers, I believe, you know, Masing will be able to achieve the target by launching a few of its projects in the pipeline, including the Cheras, Sentul and Bukit Metajam land, which the GDV is more than, you know, 2-3 billion ringgit. And of course, you know, they will launch these projects by stages.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights there. And we'll certainly keep an eye on how their shares will perform when markets open in just a bit. That was Loong Kok Wun, senior analyst with RHB Research.
We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin and we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.